Paul began to apply the doctrine of Romans from chapter 1 through chapter 11, probably more 1 to 8. And he told us last week what to do with our body. Give your body over to the Lord. A sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Then this week he's going to tell us in 3 through 8 what to do in the body. What we're going to do, your body and the body. What's the relationship between the two? We'll see it here. And that's where we're heading with this message today. First thing he says is, watch your altitude in the body. I know that's, but it fits as we go along. Altitude. What is your altitude here? And I'm going to get the attitude later. But your altitude, how high are you? What's the elevation in your mind of who you are? Well, he says in verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you. Now, well, I stop on that one and say, what's he going to say? No. I want to see why he said what he said. Who says this? He says, for I say. Now, who's the I? Well, the I refers to Paul. Paul, and not just him, but the Holy Spirit working through Paul. I say, through the grace that is given to me. He's talking about his gift, the grace gift that God gave him, and that we're going to see now to everybody else too. But he had a special gift, and that gift was the gift of apostleship. His apostolic gift and office made his writings God's message. So when Paul says, I say, he's saying, God says. Because apostolicity equals canonicity. In other words, if it's from an apostle, it's in the canon. It's in the Bible. And whatever is in the Bible is also inspired. So apostolicity, canonicity, inspiration. So God is speaking to us. And what I say is what Paul said, which is what the Holy Spirit said. God is speaking to us. And I stand here in God's stead, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, giving you what God said. Now, he's writing to everyone. I write through the grace of God given to me, to everyone who's among you, not just the four new members. Everybody say, oh, this four new members, well, tell them what to do. No, God tells us what to do, all of us. To everyone, he says, who is among you. Everyone needs to listen up to what God is saying. So, the first thing he says is, watch your altitude. There's a caution that we are to heed, a caution. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. There's my altitude. Don't think yourself way up here, unless that's where you are. Because think where you are. He's going to say more soberly. So don't have an inflated view of yourself. It has no place in the Church of Christ. There is none, this is none other than pride. That's a sin. That's a sin of the devil, you know. The devil was proud. He wanted to be higher than God. And he got down lower than anybody else. But that's his sin. His sin was pride. I like to think of that, the fall of Satan. I can find it in my mind. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 14:28. I see that. And I went back over that again yesterday, especially in Isaiah, where we have five I wills. Now, I know there's some problem with that. Some people say, oh, it wasn't. That's not him. That's the king of Babylon. Well, maybe so. But I would rather go with what the scripture says. It calls him Beelzebub. He calls him Lucifer, the son of the morning. That's who he's talking to. Now, he may be applying that to Babylon. I have no problem with that. But that's what the devil did. I will ascend above the God. I will do all the five I wills. That was his pride. I'm better than anybody. I'm better than God. We used to have a man in a Methodist church where we went as a kid. And this man's name was Winder. And he said he loaned the church some money. And somebody was talking about he said, nobody should be above anybody else. He said, well, I'm above it. I loan God money. I don't think so. That's the devil coming out of him. That's pride. See, in that pride can come into two different areas. First, self-delusion. Think of myself more highly. I've been saved longer than you. I guess I'm a better Christian. I've been in this church longer than you. Only Fred could do that, and he wouldn't do it. I'm more spiritual than you. My gift is better than yours. I'm smarter than you are. Can't make that one. So any of these, or all of these, won't make you better. You think that makes you better just because you got a degree from here or there or whatever? No, you're wrong. No one is better from what he has done. The question that Paul raises is this. What do you have that you didn't receive? Think about it. What? I have a big home. I have a nice car. Where'd you get it? You received it. You received it from the Lord. Did it make you any better? And then he says, follows that up with, why then do you boast as though you didn't receive it? Anytime you boast about what you have, then you're giving the idea, I didn't receive that, I got it myself. No. So 3 John had one of those, remember? 3 John, Diotrephes, and John said about him, he loves the preeminence. Oh, God deliver us from that. Oh, I just love to be, I love people standing up here and everybody looking at me. Don't kid yourself. I used to do this. I'd move. They're still looking over there. they're not listening to me. They're dreaming somewhere. You know? That can happen. So don't love the preeminence. If you have it, use it. Don't love it. See, every believer is important, but none is essential. Did you know that? Every believer is important to this church, every one of us. But if we move this cog out, the church wouldn't run. Wrong. There's no place in the work of God for all that stuff. But there is a place. There's a place for the redeemed. The whole work rests on the shoulder of nobody. We need to share the load with others. The time will come, you know, when we are no longer here. Some of us, that's true, more than others. But there will come a time that this church, if it's going to keep on going, they're going to have a Sunday school, going to have some kids, you know, has to happen. But what I'm saying to you is that if we don't do that, and I suspect that what happened was years ago, they didn't do that. Or the people moved away, which is part of it too. What I'm saying is that there needs to be a looking forward, training others. And the best thing a pastor can say when he leaves the church is, that church is getting along better than when I was there. Why? Well, because he trained people. The work people, the people are there because he taught, he trained. other people trained, that kind of thing. So if a person says, well, I left that church and it went down the hill, well, it's your fault, Pastor. Every church I leave goes right down the hill. I wonder why. What I'm saying is, we have to learn the truth of Paul's words. And Paul's words in Philippians chapter 2 said this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ. Have that. And then he goes on to say, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. So don't think of yourself above or below. See, self-deprecation or self-depreciation. Don't think more than we ought to think, but that means we ought to think. We ought to consider ourselves where we are and not say, oh, I'm nothing, I can't do anything. I'm not better, I'm nothing. The opportunity opens up for something in the church, we need somebody to do this. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, no, not me. And inside saying, I'd like to do that. I don't want to send it out. If you say I'm not able, I'm nobody, then you're saying God made a mistake in calling you and gifting you. So that's the caution we need to heed. Don't put yourself up too high. Don't put yourself up too low. Put it where you ought to put it, where God puts it. And then there's a choice we ought to honor. Think soberly, according to God's, as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I can't find anybody to agree with me. Maybe you will. Maybe not. God has given to everybody the measure of faith. Now, Zane Hodges, my idol, doesn't agree with me here either. But to me, he's given everybody the measure of faith. I think that's equivalent to saying gifts. The measure of faith, the measure of where you're going to work in by your faith or whatever. I don't know, but it just seems to me he's saying a measure of faith because he goes on to talk about the gifts. So when you were saved, God not only gave you life that will not end, he also gave you gifts, or gift or gifts, that will not end. Won't end. He won't take them away. He won't take them back. You have that, you're going to use that. Oh, I want something else. You can't have something else. You have this. Do it. That's your gift. And he will not take it back. How do I know that? Romans 11:29 says this, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. He doesn't take them back. So either use what you have or you won't have anything. Use it. God made a choice, is what I'm saying. God made a choice of you and for you. So if you say, I don't have any gifts, then you're saying God's mistaken. He said it. Must be true. He chose you. He gifted you. He equipped you to do what he's calling you to do. Note Paul's use of the word grace, the grace that's given to me, and I can't let that go without pointing out that we're all saved the same way. We're all saved by grace. We got into the body the same way, and we came from the same place. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and God brought us into the body by his grace. He washed us with the same blood. It took just as much of the blood to wash you and then you and you and you and me, all of us, the very same thing. And we're headed to the same heaven. If you can't get along here, how are you going to do it there? Oh, they're too spiritual for me. Get ready for heaven. Everybody's spiritual, you know? We'll sing the same songs, don't we? Sing the same songs. Serve the Lord with gladness. Well, let's do it. So regardless of our backgrounds, we're all sinners that God has saved by his marvelous grace, Ephesians 2:8-9. So we're saved by grace. We're also sanctified by grace. In Galatians 3:1, Paul says this, "This only what I learned from you, you Galatians, that you, question, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Well, we heard it by faith. Yeah, we were saved by grace through faith. Well, are you so foolish then, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect in the flesh? Are you going to sanctify yourself or allow the Spirit of God to do that? We're all sanctified by grace. We all share by grace. Do you know somebody in here is writing a book? Yeah. Somebody's writing a book about giving. And we've talked about different ones. And I think it's going to be a good one. He'll tell you, or you can read in your Bible yourself. We all share. We all give by grace. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8:1-2, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." What grace of God? "That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality." The Corinthians were not rich people. They were poor people. They were in poverty. And the Lord said their liberality came out of their poverty. That's a great testimony. But that's grace. Their grace. And then he says, "We urge Titus that as he had begun that work in you, so he would complete this grace in you as well." You know? All this, the grace. Giving is a grace. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Oh, grace. I was saved by grace. Isn't grace wonderful? Yeah. Start giving. Giving by grace. It's a wonderful grace. Enjoy it. And we all serve by grace. The grace of God has come to us. Paul says, "By the grace given to me." And you serve the Lord by the grace given to you. We're going to talk about how you find out. But we serve by grace. And some of you know where I'm going with that. Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's true of us, isn't it? All of us. Whatever we are, we are by the grace of God. And whatever gifts, whatever talents, whatever abilities we have, all by the grace of God. And should be used for His glory. They were not given so that we could exalt ourselves. That is not the reason. But they were given that we might be able to live for God, honor Jesus, and glorify the Father as we travel through this world. Hebrews 12:28, that's where I was going. "Let us hold fast to grace, that we may serve God acceptably." All through the book of Hebrews, he comes up to chapter 12. And he's been saying, law's done away, now we're living by grace. Law, no, grace, yes. And then he says, "Let us hold fast to that grace, that we may serve God acceptably." We can't serve God acceptably by keeping the law. That's why you don't hear me say, "Bring your tithes." Tithes of the law. Giving. Grace giving is of the new covenant, which is ours. Hold fast to grace. Don't do it because you have to. Don't give 10%. 11, 9, whatever. But don't do it according to, I have to do it. You don't have to do it. God's given you the opportunity to do it. Now, so watch your altitude. Get where God has you and live there. Watch your aptitude in the body. Verses 4 and 5. Understand the picture. Verse 4. As we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. What body? The human body. That's what he's speaking about, the human body. And here's what he says in 1 Corinthians 12. Excuse me for reading. I know when I read, you're going, here it is. I'm reading. It's the Word of God. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the law, as the body is one and has many members, but all the members are of that one body, being many are one body, so also is the Christ body. For by one Spirit we've all been baptized into one body, whether we are Jews or Greeks, or whether we are slave or free, and we've been all made to drink into that one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. See how he's doing it? The human body is like the church body, like the Christ body. Then should the foot say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? No. If the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Of course not. If the whole body were an eye, there would be no hearing. If the whole were hearing, then there'd be no smelling. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased, as if they were all one member. I'm sorry, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? Can't have one member, it's a body. But now, final verse. But now, indeed, there are many members in one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. If I want to read this, I use my eyes. And my feet are no good at all to reading. But if I want to go over there, my eye can't help me at all. It's my feet. I need all of my parts of my body. And that's what God has given us to do. So, understand the picture. That's what the picture is. Our body, the church. Understand the persons. We, being many, are one body in Christ. Every person is necessary in the body. Every person. And every person has a function in the body. All of us. It's not two or three people running the church and doing the thing. Everybody has a part. And it's his own specialty. He can't, we can't all be hands, we can't all be eyes, but we have to be and do what God has gifted us to be and do. So we need to understand the picture, the persons. We also need to understand the purpose, 5b. And individually, we are members of one another. Each part of the body is designed to help each other and to help the entire body, all of us. Each part of the body is designed to be a part of the whole body. My foot can't see, my eye can see, but each day, each one of them play their own part. And not all human bodies are like that. Not all human bodies can walk. Not all human bodies can see. And that's maybe it's because of some accident, birth defect, sickness. Things happen. And sometimes it happens to the church. The church gets sick. The church has an accident. And things get really bad. But that's not what God planned for the church. All spiritual bodies are to be bodies functioning with the gifts. See, God has given the DNA for the church. And we all discover, develop, and use our gifts in the local assembly. And we will see a healthy church, a serving the Lord church, and each other serving each other in the glory of God. Now, watch your altitude. Watch your attitude. Watch your accomplishments in the body, verses 6 to 8. The call, our call is, Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. It's our call. We have gifts. At the moment of salvation, you received a gift or gifts. The Holy Spirit, the gift is the Holy Spirit. Of course, He is in you. Romans 8, 9 says this, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." So, you don't need to pray for the Holy Spirit. You already have the Holy Spirit. At the moment you received also gifts, not just the gift, the Holy Spirit, but gifts for the service of the church. You don't need to pray for them either. Don't spend your time praying for something you already have. I've given you some sheets in the bulletin, and this is in a booklet we use. And you'll see on there that there are three pages in it. And it's right out of that booklet. And so talking about the specific use. How do I find my gift? Well, it tells you on there. And also developing your gift, the responsible use of your gift. And then there's a list, the third page, is a list of all the gifts as they're listed in the different places in the Bible. Now, that might be helpful to some of you. Now, as I say, this comes out of a booklet, page, maybe 50 pages. And there's a CD and a DVDs involved with that. Now, I'm not selling it. I mean, I would sell it if you want, but I'm not trying to make a pitch up here. What I'm saying to you is, you want to know about that? You want to see the whole booklet? I'll give you a booklet. But you want to listen to the CDs, come right here and listen. You want to watch the DVDs, come right here and watch. We're happy to do it. Come by and we'll talk about how that work. So, use that. So if you're ready, just come by and I'll show you how to do that. That's our call. Our call is to use the gifts. Our condition. Verses 6b and 8a. Let us use them, he says. You have a gift? Use it. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, prophecy, like he's talking to people who had the gift of prophecy, prophecy is like apostleship. It's no longer being given. Since the total prophecy was giving the revelation to the people. Taking what God said and giving it to the people. We don't do that. You have that written down now. But the prophet was supposed to use his prophecy gift when he prophesied. Now, the and what he's saying there and to them was that the revelation that they give, the prophecy they give, must be in accord with the revelation already given. As Jude said, the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Your prophecy, let it be judged by that. That's all that is. Now, where are the gifts to be used? Well, he says, in ministry, let us use it. If we have the gift of ministry, use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. Now, the question came to me, well, duh, I'm supposed to use my ministry gift in ministering? I'm supposed to use my teaching gift in teaching? I think I get that one. I think I'm supposed to use my exhortation gift in exhortation? I think what he's saying is, don't get the idea that just because you have a gift of teaching, you just run in there and teach. No, use your gift. Allow the Lord to teach you and be conscious of the fact that when you're teaching, you are using your gift. And it's a gift, not you talking, it's the gift that God gave you. and the exhortation the same way. So that's why I say that's where the gifts are used. Use them where you're ministering, where you're exercising the gift. But then how the gifts are be used. He who gives, he says, has the whoever has the gift of giving. Now we all give. We're supposed to all supposed to share in the work. But there are those who have the gift of giving. They just have a special way of giving, and they do it with liberality. Now the way they do their gift should be a picture to all of us. Do it with liberality, not skimpily. Do it as unto the Lord. So we all give the same way as the man who has the gift of giving. Do it liberally. He who leads with diligence. Now the word means with zeal, with earnestness. Has the idea of speed, but I don't think speed fits here. But he who leads, do it with diligence. Make sure you're doing it, doing everything you can to be a good leader. And then he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And I thought, boy, that's strange. The one who shows mercy is in a place where he doesn't need to go in there and say, oh, you poor thing, you're awful. How are you going to live? Not that, with cheerfulness. Oh, hey, how you doing? Today's a good day. Let me help you. That kind of thing. I think what he means by that is do it with cheerfulness. Now, I don't know how many are here, but all of us are included in this. We all have gifts. And the gifts are necessary to the running of this church. Do you have a gift? Yes. You're part of the church? Yes. What is your gift? What are you doing? What's that gift that you're using in the church? That's what we need to find out. And I'm here to help you any way I can to help you find that gift. Other people too. Leaders in the church. Anyone in the church may say, hey, I noticed that you were teaching that class, whatever. Find out what it is. Find out what the gift is. And the best way to find out is by doing something. When something comes along, do it. You might find that that's your place. You may find it's not. But you work. Doing the work of the church, you'll find your gift. And when you find your gift, hang into it. Do it and keep it up. Because we need you. God would not have put you here and gifted you here unless he had a place for you to work. Work on it, all of us, and do it well. Thank you, Father, for this word. A great opportunity for us to minister to each other.